Joining us now, he is the majority leader of the Alabama House of Representatives. Always a great guest to bring on, and we appreciate his time. Nathaniel Ledbetter joins us on the line. Representative, how are you this morning?
I'm good, Jeff. How are you doing? It's good to be on this morning. Hope you got all your Christmas shopping done.
Well, I don't want to lie to you, but we're getting there. We're real close. We're on the verge here of getting it done. But
good.
Tell me, first off, COVID, everything, everything okay in your neck of the woods? What's your status?
Yeah, we've been healthy. Our family's done well. We hadn't had any problems with it yet, but it's been pretty bad in our area. Now, not only just the virus being out there, but we've lost some folks in our community, and we continually pray that we can see the virus get better, and hopefully we'll get past it.
Yeah, well, every time it looks like we're turning the corner, and then we have one of these flare-ups, but I guess this vaccine certainly looks promising.
It does. It does. I think, we sound like there may be a third one come out in the near future, and I think the more of them that we can get out and the more people we can get the vaccine to and get a herd immunity, we're going to see some light at the end of the tunnel. Hopefully we can get this pandemic behind us. I remember very well that Dr. Harris had come and talked to a caucus meeting, and we were talking about the virus at the beginning of the last session, and as he was walking out the door, he stopped, and he looked back and said the World Health Organization has just declared this pandemic. And at that time, we thought, we got the spring break here in a couple of weeks. We'll get past that. We'll get back to normal. Everything will be good. And who would have thought? Here we are almost a year later, almost. And we're still dealing with it, and it's probably in my area, and I think across the state, worse than it's been any time.
Representative, you represent a relatively rural area of Alabama. Getting this vaccine distributed, I know there's plans in place, but what are you concerned? Do you think the plan in place is going to work and really get to these perhaps potentially underserved areas?
Yeah, I do. I think that Dr. Harris has got a good plan. I've listened to some of the ideas they've got, getting it to the major hospitals and getting it to the rural health centers, and I have to give him credit. I think he's done a great job in a tough situation. And then, of course, it's easy to second-guess decisions that's made. But, we've never had to make these type decisions before. And I think they've done a really good job considering that, there's really not a guideline to see how you treat this particular virus or how you handle it once that you get into the pandemic. So I do think that they've got a good plan. I think they'll have some hiccups, absolutely, because it's a great undertaking to try to get it to every corner of the state and the ruralest part of Alabama. So, but I feel confident that we'll be able to do that.
Yeah, because, I guess a lot of us assume this is going to be kind of handled at the federal level, but there has to be a local and state-level component.
There does. There's no question about that. When the conversation with Dr. Harris we'd had back a while, I think they gave him a date for the state to be ready at a certain date. Of course, the vaccine come in a few weeks after that, but they've been working on protocol for a while, and I think they've got it in place. I think the biggest problem is making sure that they get it. There's been some problem with the shipment, not just because we hadn't got all the doses, but some of it might have, the temperature might not have been what it was supposed to be, and that I think that's certainly been an issue. But going forward, I think they'll work through those things. And if we, everybody probably remembers when the pandemic first started and trying to get protective equipment for the frontline workers was a tough deal. And then after a little while, the gap in the chain of production caught up and was able to get it out to everybody. I think that's what we'll see here. I think we'll see it catch up, and within a month or so, we'll certainly see it out to everybody have an opportunity to get it.
Do you, are we, very early on we talked about, the potential shortfall of ventilators and hospital beds and ICU units. Is it just me? It just seems like we've kind of caught up to a place where it's manageable. That we never had the, while Italy went through very early on with the 10 hospitals and all of that. But, you know, looking at this from where we are today, is that still a threat, do you think?
Oh, I think it is. You know, I think it may be as strong a threat today as it was during any time during the pandemic. Because, some of the things, we see a lot of the numbers ticking up, and some people say, well, it's not because everybody's wearing a mask or something. And that I think people are doing their best in most part, but I think, you know, mutation of the virus has caused it to be a little bit more contagious probably, and, that's something it goes through. But I think our hospital folks and our state health department's done a great job, and we hadn't been in the situation of some states and running out of hospital beds, but I think it's something that we've always got to be aware of, and certainly with the numbers ticking up like they are.
Joined by State House Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter here on the program. Representative, a lot of other things going on in, tangentially related to COVID-19. Tell me the... you guys meeting in February, I know it seems 2 months away. A lot of people, a lot can change between now and now. We have one of Dr. Stutz on, Larry Stutz from the Shoals, and he thinks that you guys ought to be in a good place by February 2nd when the regular session is to start, because he thinks there'll be more availability of the vaccination. Are you optimistic that you could at least get in to the State House and just start getting some of this business squared away?
I am, yeah, and I agree with him. I think we're going to see more and more come out, and by that time, I don't know that it'll be available to as much as we'd like for it to be, but, you know, we've got a protocol set for us to do our session, and Jeff Woodward and his staff's done an outstanding job. We know we've got some pads that we can vote on. We don't have to all be in the chamber. We can actually be in the gallery and stay 6 foot apart, and he's went out and took extreme measures to make sure that that's possible. And, you know, we are a little bit different than they are in the Senate, of course, with Senator Stutz. They've got 35 members. We've got 105. And that's, you know, that's quite a bit of difference, and the area is not a lot of difference in size. But the thing that we also run into, people don't think about, we talk about having 140 members, but then if you put the staff on top of that, you're probably talking about 100 more folks. So we got to be able to negotiate all that and try to keep everybody as safe as possible, and that's certainly a priority. And I think it's something in the House that the Speaker has on his mind, because, you know, we've seen some instances across the country where we've just seen the Speaker of, I believe it was New Hampshire, had passed away. So I think we keep all that in mind and trying to keep our members as safe as possible. And we're certainly going to take every precaution that we can to do that. And I hope Senator Stutz is right. I hope that the vaccine is readily available at that time, and we can get most of this behind us.
I mean, I guess you guys could spread out a lot more, perhaps be in the balcony and places like that if needed, but also the talk that you could even, with the iPads, vote from your offices if needed. But, would it be acceptable not to have everybody in the same room?
Yeah, well, we're going to do it upstairs, and then, you know, some of the media rooms that you're familiar with, we use some of those as well as the House chamber. And everybody have the availability to vote and watch the procedures, and then we'll have microphones in those areas where if they want to speak to the particular bill that's up on the floor, all they have to do is mash the speak button, and then the speaker will recognize them, and they can come to the microphone and be heard by everybody. So they've got it all set up. You know, I'm sure Jeff and them has went through some test runs. He's pretty methodical about making sure things are right, and I certainly commend him on the job he's doing, and the speaker and Chairman Jones and myself have talked about this, and I think, you know, we're as in a good a situation to have it inside the chamber as we can be, and hopefully by that time we'll have some relief with the vaccine.
Does are you getting any of your membership telling you, look, I don't know about this. I don't know that I'm going to be able to make it. Is there any? Have you got any? You know, pushback to the potential for meeting in February?
Mm-hmm. No, I really hadn't. I've had some expressed concerns. You know, it's because it's been tough in their area, and understandably so. And then I have some get in touch with me that's ready to go. You know, they want to make sure that we get the session going. I had one get in touch with me just this week from your area, actually, and said, you know, are we going to be able to do this? We're not going to push it back. I got some stuff I need to get out. So I think it's a little bit of both. You know, some of them's a little anxious about coming in, and some of them's anxious to get there. So it's a mixed bag.
What about let's move on to some other issues. Obviously, the Department of Justice and its lawsuit against the state and ADOC on prisons and violations of the Eighth Amendment. Is there anything the legislature needs to do right out of the gate to address that?
Well, yeah, I hate that happened because we have been addressing it. You know, and I know that COVID had slowed down some of the process on bills that we had, and you know, the governor is certainly trying to address it. We've put over $40 million to hire more folks to put in prisons, guards to put in prisons. And so I don't, you know, we have been addressing it. And I think it's, you know, is it got to where it needs to be? Absolutely not. Well, we're going to get it that way overnight. No, we weren't. But it didn't get in this shape overnight. So, yeah, it's a little bit. I don't know. It's a little bit aggravating, I'm going to be honest with you, because we've been working on it, and the governor's been working on it. And if they just follow what we've been doing legislatively, what we've put in the budget to take care of some of this problem, they would know that. And I know there's some issues that has come up lately, and I get that, and I'm sure that's where some of that comes from. But, you know, we didn't, like I said, it didn't get this way overnight, and we're not going to fix it overnight. But we are trying to make it better.
What about, are you, the governor looks like any day now that you could go with this lease proposal. Does, beyond that, building new prisons, is there anything else you could do to show, hey, whenever you sit down with the Department of Justice or wherever that might be in the future, Jeff Dunn or whoever's head to ADOC, look what we're doing here. Let's work out an agreement to keep from the worst case scenario.
Yeah, I think so. I think we got legislation that's going to be coming up in this session, and some of it would have been passed last session if it hadn't been cut short due to COVID. I know Representative Jim Hill has been working on it. As you know, Jim is a judge and retired from there, and is chairman of judicial, and he does a great job. And they've been working on legislation. I think it's going to be beneficial. And you know, we worked on, as you know, I've worked on the mental health portion of trying to help with some of the issues too. And as far as that goes across the state, and I think we've got a lot of things going in the right direction. And hopefully that they can see that. And once that they, you know, everything is put on the table, we can move forward and take care of the issue.
Yesterday, Governor's Gaming Task Force puts out a report. What do you think about that? Do you think that there is the light at the end of the tunnel to our decades or long running gaming debate in the state? That something could happen in the state house this year?
Yeah, I think there's something, you know, we're going to look at a lot of those issues. I think that Mayor Strange and his task force did a great job. We had a chance to go over everything with him, not in depth. As you know, it's a pretty lengthy report, but kind of hit the high spots before they went to the media and had a press conference about it and had a chance to ask him some questions and look at what they were thinking. And they were very thorough, had touched some other states and seen how they were operating. So certainly give us an opportunity to dig deep into it and appreciate the work that they've done, you know. And I think at the end of the day, it's going to be the people's choice. The people of Alabama will probably get an opportunity to vote on this. I think it'll be a constitutional amendment. And, you know, if it passes both chambers, the people to get a chance to decide whether they want it in their state or not. And maybe you're right, Jeff. I think it's time that we put it out there and let the people decide whether they want it or not, and lay it to rest one way or the other.
And finally, Governor Ivey, through executive order last week, extending the tax benefits on the economic development, and then waiving tax liability for now, I guess, until you guys can meet. Was that? Do you think that was appropriate for her to use her executive authority that way?
You know, we're in different times, and I can see where people would have differences of opinion. But she can, you know, if she extend it until we can put it in statute, I don't see a problem with it. Because as you talked to and we talked about earlier in this interview, the situation bringing everybody into the chamber not being ready would certainly could be catastrophic to some of our members. And I think she played it in that way and knew we needed some things done before the end of the year, and she's able to do it under an executive order. And when we go back into session, we can certainly ratify that by making it statute and making it law. And if we decide to do something different, we can do it then. So I don't have a problem with it. I know some members may think, well, she's stepped across her line of what she can do. But the thing that I think about and look at from my perspective, we're in different times. I mean, we've never been in a situation like this before, and I wish we weren't in it now, because if we weren't, she wouldn't have to be making those kind of decisions. But once we get into a session and we're able to go back to work, then we can take those back up and put them in statute then and make them law.
Representative, we got to get out of here, get to break, but hopefully real soon we can be back in a little side room in your office doing a show, and everything will be back to normal. But as always, we appreciate your time, and have a Merry Christmas.
Well, Jeff, I appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you and your family, and to your listeners. Merry Christmas, and you know you're always welcome in my office. And I wish that when we started the session back, we could do that. But maybe Dr. Stutz is right. Maybe we're closer to that than we have been. I certainly think so. So it's good to talk with you, and I hope you'll have a happy holiday.
You do the same. State House Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter, ladies and gentlemen.